Everyone back tonight. If you would, get your book in front of you and turn to page 279. Page 279. Let's stand, please. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing soul to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for the Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me light. Satan's snare may rip my soul from His own aside, but my Lord goes ahead, lives where behind. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, long in the fight, with a tender voice that stretched toward the valley below, guiding me, I can see, as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen. All right, you may be seated.
Well, good evening. Y'all sounded real good there. We ought to sing another one. Goodness gracious. That's like the beginning of a good old revival. Yeah. Well, what's going on tonight? We have, we're having our service now. We're having our birthday thing next door. We forgot to say anything this morning, but it was in your bulletin, if you read your bulletin. That we're going over to the fellowship hall immediately afterwards. We've got some folks visiting because they locked the doors of their church. We're so glad to have you folks from Grace tonight. We are. And I told Dave, I said, Dave, if we weren't having a birthday bash over here at fellowship hall, I'd ask you to preach, but you'd preach too long and we couldn't get that in. So we'll have to get Dave back at another time, and he'll have to let me know when he's coming, right? Because it's been a long time since y'all heard Dave. Some of you, how many of y'all have not heard Dave preach? My brother. He's still waiting for to hear him. Yeah, he told me, he said, that Dave can't preach. Well, anyway, we're here, and I know that you all don't need to fill out a visitor's card or anything. Some of you have been here many, many times, and we won't go into that. But if you're looking for a church, if Curtis is not doing a good job and you'd like to come here, we'd love to have you, okay? Okay, if our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our evening offering. I wish all of us had the energy that Chris does in doing his job. He is so on top of it and so consistent and so faithful. We just thank the Lord for him. We have a little fella in here tonight I want to bring to your attention right now. And I'm going to ask Hannah if she would. We've introduced Gideon to the church before, but I want to ask her to stand for just a moment because I want you to do something. I want you to keep this in your mind. That little fella right there is having a little rough start, and he's going to be tested for seizures. And we just pray that if it's God's will, not to let that be. Not that it's a sentence of any kind. It's just we don't want that to happen to little Gideon. But if it does, God's grace is sufficient for whatever. But let's pray for them now. God can do anything he wants to. Thank you, Hannah. You know how we are about our babies and our children. We love them. And we want to pray for them. And we want to let them know as they grow up that we're praying for them. We need to let our children know we're praying for them. I'm afraid we talk more about too many other things and not the church, not their life with the Lord. We need to do that, folks. We do. And let's do it as a church. It's not all just their parents. These kids are put in our care. They're our kids, you know. Let's let them know. Let's ask the Lord to bless this offering. Henry, would you do that? Amen.
Soul's been dry, and now I'm desperate for the water. I've been so empty, just getting by, and now I'm desperate for the water. Oh, how stream. Oh, I'm running to bitter wells. Now I am desperate for the water. Too many deserts I've walked by myself. Now I am desperate for the water. Lord, you're my water.
On a Sunday night, this looks so good from up here. Y'all want to come up here and see? I think the Lord blessed us this morning with a message that was burning in my soul to deliver, and I don't know what all took place in the hearts of people. Only God knows. But I know that he's given me another message tonight. If you will, turn to Daniel. I should have given this to Scott earlier. Daniel chapter 3. And I want to read a portion of the story. You know the rest of it. If you know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know that's what the little kids always say. Verse 19 of chapter 3 of the book of Daniel. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. We know why, don't we? If you do, if you don't, ask me later. But he was. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. That'll get you fired up if you're a Christian. These are God's children. And here's a guy going to put them in a furnace and burn them up. By the way, folks, we're in a furnace. We're in a furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace. Now these are all things that would burn. That made it a little bit better, didn't it? Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded. Is there any doubt? And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, oh, I love this. Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. That's the truth. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. They're not bound anymore. Walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I can get fired up about that. You can get fired up about that. You know, we really can. Can I take that scripture that can get us fired up in a heartbeat and take you in a different direction tonight and see where we are? We're not the three, but we could be close to it. We know why they were put in the furnace. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't break. Something like that. They wouldn't burn either. Let's bow our heads just a moment and ask the Lord to bless this scripture and this message tonight. Lord, we're grateful for this scripture. We're grateful for this story of these three young men who stood for what they were and who they were, no matter if it took them to a fiery furnace that would have taken their life. Thank you for their trust in you. Lord, I could only pray that we as Christians, that we would be the same when put to the test. We're going to praise you, Lord, tonight for whatever is accomplished here in this service. Thank you again for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. How is your Christianity? You know, Christianity is a word that's thrown into a lot of different aspects of life now. Christian, especially, just Christian, not Christianity. But how is your religion? Throw another word in there. How is your religion? How deep are you in your religion? How deep are you in your Christianity? How deep are we in our salvation? If we want to make it a little bit better there, and we can. I like to sing that song, I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. You like that? Don't you love saying that you're saved and you're ready to go to heaven? I love to say the fact that I'm saved and ready to go to heaven. But we're going to see a little test here of our salvation, our religion, our Christianity. In the New Testament, jumping over a ways, they were put to the test many, many times. These young men were put to the test in this scripture when you get to the New Testament, we find many people who were put to the test. Some passed with flying colors. Some didn't do so well. And so I'm asking, will your religion, your Christianity, will it stand the test? When the Lord had his disciples following him, it was easy sometimes because they were just so wrapped up in it. It was new, it was fresh. And isn't that the way it is when you get a new church started or something, you know, and people are excited and things are going well. And man, I tell you what, you can just feel excitement. You could cut excitement with a knife when it gets like that. And then things happen. Well, the same thing was happening with the ones who were following the Lord. He said, you're doing real good. But then he says, one day he said, I want you to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Whoa! Something just changed. He's asking them to go deeper than what they thought it was. It was just a good feeling, walking around with Jesus who could do many miracles and everything. And now he's asking them, and when he asked them to do this, you know what they did? Somebody tell me. They turned and went the other way. They didn't follow him like they were following him. If you want to get deeper with him, you got to get deeper with him. Don't turn away from it. Face up to it because it's a test. Now, what about us here tonight? We're going to see this little test if we might. Here are some things that are happening that will kind of show us where the test is. God's people are going to be tried. I got a text from Dave, I believe yesterday or day before, can't remember exactly when, and he was talking about wars and rumors of wars and the thing that's coming out of North Korea and China, and seems like anymore that's all we ever hear, you know, and we're kind of overwhelmed with the fact of what's going to happen with China, what's going to happen with Iran, what's going to happen with North Korea. Folks, that's not our problem. It's not. And we don't need to get into the same conversation that the world gets into, who has a reason. If they don't know the Lord, they have a reason to fear. If you know the Lord, you don't have a reason to fear. They that live godly are going to suffer persecution. That's a fact. It's a truth. No matter where you live, doesn't matter. You say, well, I live in East Tennessee and we're all Christians up here. No, we're not. If you're a child of God, you're going to be tested. I can assure you that that's the way it is. It used to be that we thought missionaries were the ones who were put to the real test. They were the ones who should be scared out there on the field, the missionary field, where they were in somebody else's country. I feel sometimes like I'm in somebody else's country. It's not the same country I grew up with, and that's not to say I'm not a true American. I am. But it's not the same anymore. But the difference is not in the sin of mankind. The difference is in the Christian. The difference is in the child of God. We have been the ones who, when tried and tested, did not stick with where we were. There are three things here that I want to show you that happens when you are tried or when you're tested. Here's what normally happens. When you're tested, you may toughen up when you're tested. Now, if you play ball, I know some of y'all in here, when your kids play ball, coach probably told you, now when you get in there, if you get hit, you hit back. You toughen up. You play hard ball. You're not going to win a game by being a wimp, and they're going to come at you like crazy. Well, this whole world's coming at us like crazy, and it's time that we Christians toughen up. Now, when I say toughen up, you'll know what I'm talking about, because we say that this is where we further the gospel down the road. If we're going to toughen up and we're going to take the gospel, it's Christian fortitude. I knew I was looking for a word there I couldn't think of because I don't use it very often. But we need some Christians with some fortitude. We need some Christians that will toughen up, that will stay focused, that will stay faithful, that will stay consistent with what God wants us to be. The reason the world is getting less and less is because Christianity is getting less and less. Sin has always been here. The world has always been here. Satan has always been walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he's still doing that today. And I tell you all the time, watch your children. Satan's trying to get them. Watch your grandchildren. Satan's trying to get them. And folks, to be honest with you, I'm going to touch on a little thing I touched on this morning, and I felt like I might have hit a nerve, but that's okay if I hit a nerve because I believe it's gospel. Parents ought to be parents. And if we're going to be good parents, we ought to be Christian parents. And if we're going to be good Christian parents, we need to tell our children what they can look forward to. Don't wait on the preacher to tell them from the pulpit. They need to know that their mom and dad are living for the same Lord. Amen. We need to toughen up as Christians. So let's do that. We're in a holy war. We are, and that's not one of those holy wars like Iran would tell you about and speak all that stuff. We're in a holy war, and it should be a crusade for us. We're ready to go, aren't we? We're ready to get on our horses and head into battle, but it is a crusade. It is a battle. It is a war, and we're in it. Can't get out of it. Can't. I read a part of a story, not the whole thing. How many of y'all have ever read John Bunyan? Huh? Have you ever read Pilgrim's Progress? No? How'd y'all get through school? Well, sometime when you get a chance, that's not the only book, by the way, but if you read it, you'll find that it goes all the way from the Garden of Eden all the way through your Christianity all the way to glory. It's good. Well, John Bunyan was, now this was 1600s. If you want to know how far we've come, we think that sometimes all this just happened 5 to 10 years ago that we're where we are. No, in 1600s, John Bunyan was told he couldn't preach the way he'd been preaching. In fact, they told him, if you preach again like that, you'll be put in jail. So John Bunyan said, well, okay, I won't do it anymore. We know that wasn't the truth. You know what he did? He got right back in the pulpit and preached the same message, only a little harder. They threw him in jail. He was in jail for 7 years because he preached a message that they didn't want him to preach. Now, after he got out of jail, of course, he quit preaching like that. No, he didn't. He had toughened up. He was right where he needed to be. God had taught him a lesson while he was in prison. He wrote books while he was in prison. He came out of prison a stronger Christian than when he went in. And some folks say, oh, he spent 7 years in prison. He spent 7 years with the Lord. He was in God's classroom for 7 years, and he came back out much better than when he went in. I'm saying to us, if you're being tried and tested, stick with where you are. Stick with where you've been because God's going to teach you something. He's going to toughen that skin of yours as a Christian. And that's not a bad statement to make. He's going to toughen us up because we need to be toughened up. But you know what else he'll do? He'll tender you up too. Amen. And I say that because I look around Christianity today and I see a lot of hard-hearted Christians, folks that don't have a passion or a compassion, folks that don't know really what the Lord is all about. And so they're just hard. And when I say hard, they don't know what you're talking about. When you talk to them about how God loves them and how God wants them to be a better person in this life, they're just hardcore. They only got up so far in the Bible, and then they knew where they were. They were satisfied with that. And when you get satisfied with that, you get cold in the things of the Lord. So have we been tried and tested? Well, if you haven't, you will be because we're in the tried and testing times, I'm telling you. But what we do and what we have done is we make a little compromise. I know nobody likes to hear that word, but it's a good word, because if we find ourselves compromising, then we'll know where we are and we can back out of it. If you don't know you're compromising, then you're okay. You don't have any problem. But it's a shame. It's a reproach for God's children to be compromised and fall into the compromise and be what they're not supposed to be. So, what about us preachers? I'm going to hit preachers first, because we got a bunch of them in here tonight. Do we compromise? Now, when I talk about old-time preaching, some of you have different views of old-time preaching. I can't jump as high as I used to jump. And I can't holler as long as I used to holler. Now, some of you sitting in this congregation tonight knows what I'm talking about. There was a time when I started preaching, these things weren't here. I had to preach loud enough for Jack to hear me back there. And it's hard for Jack to hear me with this. He said yes. But we had to preach hard and long and sweat and go like crazy. And we would say, that's old time preaching. We would have to throw off these coats and pitch them back on the seat behind us. And some would call that old time preaching. That's not old time preaching. That's just because they were hot and sweaty and needed to pull a coat off. And when you had to holler loud enough for everybody to hear what you had to say. That's okay. I kind of enjoyed it myself. I could tell after about 10 years I wasn't going to last. My voice wasn't going to last. My voice was going to be gone. So I'm glad for these things. You know, God sends us things in our life that helps us. But I'm talking about us preachers. We don't compromise about throwing our coat off. We don't compromise on those things that look like we're old-timey preachers. What we're compromising on is the full truth. What we're compromising is that we're afraid we're going to upset somebody who comes to the church who probably pays their tithes. Whoa, we might not even want a party after this. That's right. When we're tested and tried, then we back up, because we don't want to mess up the apple cart. We don't want to upset it, don't want to turn it over. So we compromise and we don't tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help us. Well, as the preaching goes, so goes the church. Wait. Let me turn that around. As the church goes, so goes the preaching. You know, they're both true. What were we talking about this morning? Responsibility. Did you know that you have a responsibility to me, church? You have a responsibility to me as a church. You do. I have a responsibility to you as the preacher, as the pastor. I do. Now, are you upholding your part of the bargain? If I'm going to preach the truth, whole truth and nothing but the truth, and you know it's a truth, what should you be doing? You should be praying for me. You should be amening the gospel, not me. But you should be amening the gospel, the truth of that gospel. You should be saying, sick 'em, like a bulldog. Sometimes it gets lonely up here. Can I tell you that? I know y'all think I never get lonely up here, but sometimes I've been lonely up here. Because I feel like this message is not getting past the front row, and the only one on the front row is Tom. And he has to take it all, because he's the only one who's brave enough to sit up here, okay? But the church has a responsibility, and we have a responsibility not just to our own. And I've been in churches everywhere, and I know that there are groups in churches. There's a word for it, and it starts with a C. Oh, I knew somebody would know what that is. And, you know, churches are the world's worst for getting cliques in them. Cliques are not good. And I would say to you, if I had my druthers, when we go over here to the fellowship hall for this birthday thing, I would tell each one of you where to sit, what table to sit at, what people to sit with, because we choose our own, and we choose our own table, and we sit at that table. Can I tell you, you'll have a much better time if you'll learn somebody new. You will. Try it tonight when we go over. I just messed this message up, I know. But here's what we have an obligation to. I have an obligation to you. You have an obligation to me. But could I tell you who else you have an obligation to? Where are my little ones? They're downstairs in the nursery, I guess. Could I have Brady and Braden stand, please? Sam, would you stand, please? I like to embarrass young people. But these young men right here, and they are young men, these young men is this church's responsibility. And what's happened is we've been put to the test in our churches, and we're letting our young people down, and when they graduate from high school, they're out the door and gone because they didn't have enough tie to the church because we didn't make that tie. You see, the teenagers aren't going to make that tie. We need to make that tie. They're the young ones. They're not going to do it. Thank you, young man. I appreciate you. By the way, that's three of our foursome quartet that we're getting ready to get up here. But we owe it to our teenagers. We owe it to our little ones. We owe it to them to hug them. Sometimes they won't hug you back, the little ones. I tell you what, I felt terrible when Addie wouldn't have anything to do with me. Ellie wouldn't have anything to do with me. Now they have all kinds of time for me. Yeah, it happens. We just need to get in there and get with them, okay? Church, that's our responsibility. I was going to touch on holy living, but I don't think we need that part, do we? It used to be that there was a whole lot of preaching going on about holy living. Used to be there was a lot of Sunday school classes going on about holy living. Used to be there were songs sung about holy living. It used to be that we talked more about holy living than we talk today. We have much deeper conversations today. How deep do you think Tennessee will go in the NCAA this year? How far do you think we'll be able to go in this and that and the other? And we talk about stuff like that. Folks, we need to talk about the Word of God. This is, what do you call it? Holy Bible. It is right there. When you read that the next time, stop at holy first. We say that's the Bible. It's a lot more than that. It's the Holy Bible. The reason it's the Holy Bible is because it tells us how to live holy. Maybe we could, when we're tried and tested, we could do something about that. We could talk about the Holy Spirit even. Ooh, mercy, this message might be longer than I thought. We sing the songs. By the way, we got some good singers here. We do. And but you know, it's not worth a dime if there's not that Spirit that goes with that song. It's not. And I thank God every day that He's given us people who not only sing, but people who sing knowing what they're singing about. We were talking in the choir earlier when we were practicing, and I saw that song, The Lighthouse. You know, it's a song we... And it used to thrill me to death, Lynn, when they'd sing Lighthouse, because I remember when He threw the light on me. And that's been a favorite of Tom's for a long time, and I thought, boy, that'd be a good song for Tom to sing. And I think I was successful in getting our music director to say, yes, that would be a great song for Tom. And so you pray that Tom's voice is going to stay good and he's going to be able to do that, because I want to hear it. I don't want to hear a song just to hear a song. I want to hear a song because it gets down deep inside and touches me and makes me better than before I heard it. That's what I want. We have emotions here in our church, but not like we used to have emotions. I'm emotional sometimes. It's okay. Yeah, y'all mind being emotional? I hope not. Because God gave you your emotions. And when he touches your heart, it's okay if you allow your emotions to go by that barrier that we've put up in our churches, because you just shouldn't be crying and weeping. And we put Kleenexes on every seat in here so that we could get some emotional people getting emotional about a Lord and Savior who died on an old rugged cross, shed his blood for them, died so that we could live, and we have Kleenex for them to wipe the tears when they hear that. I'll go to Sam's and get 3 more boxes next week. God's good. He's good. How's your testimony? I'm moving right along. How's your testimony? Do you remember when Lot had a chance to choose where he wanted to go? He chose where he wanted to go. Ended up in a place called, what was it? Oh, yeah, that Sodom and Gomorrah place that we like to talk about, you know, when we're talking about people who are really bad, not us, you know. And then we'll use the phrase, but we're living in a Sodom and Gomorrah today. And that's the truth. Folks, I'm afraid we've gone past. I'm afraid we've gone past. I never saw a thing about all those letters. I'll let y'all figure that out. It was a terrible place for Lot. I don't know what his testimony was like. I don't think anybody listened to him. Is that what a bad testimony is? Is our testimony gets so bad when we've tried and tested, we've lost our testimony? He couldn't get anybody to listen to him. His own family had a problem. That's sad. That's where the emotion should come in. Should break our hearts. It has mine, and it should yours, and it should continue until the Lord comes for us. But I got to take you down here to the end. Can I take you to the end? Y'all ready to go to the end yet? Now, it'll take 30 minutes to get this end out of here, okay? So they go to the fiery furnace. Good young men. About the age of these boys back here. Good, good young men. We've got some good kids. We really got some good kids. Do they live perfectly? Ask their parents. No. Or you can ask me for most of them, I know. No. But they're good kids. And what we should be trying to do, church, is helping them along the path of being a good kid. They should be a better Christian than they are a kid. We should be a better parent than we are. But we should be a better Christian than we are a parent. If we be better Christians than we are parents and grandparents and everything else, there'd be no problem with our parenting, because we'd be where we need to be. But let's go to the furnace, because I always like going to the furnace. O King, live forever. Now we know why that was said, because the old king looked in and he saw a situation that wasn't supposed to be that way. Can you just imagine? I know you've done this before, because I've been preaching for 50 years, and I know you've heard this message before from some other preacher, some other church, and you get into looking in the fiery furnace and you see them boys in there walking about with their ropes already burned off of their wrists, with not a scratch on them, not a blister one, just the ropes are burned off. Their clothes are still on them. That's why we told you about the clothes earlier. Their clothes were still on them. Everything was good. Not a hair singed on their head. You know why? They were with someone in there who made a difference. God was looking after his son. Oh, I believe it wasn't just someone who looked like the Son of God. I believe he was. I'm going to take that literal if it's okay with you. I'd like to tell you something that this world would not believe. That they survived a furnace 7 times hotter than it normally was and burn everything off of them and they walk out. Can you explain that? No. But I'll tell you what we can do, church. We can take our Christianity to another level. And we can be what we ought to be. And we can see things that we don't normally see because of where we are in our Christianity. Where we are in our relationship with God. I want to see some things I've never seen. I'm not talking about any state or country or anything. I'm talking about in my relationship with God. I want to see some things I've never seen. I want to be in a situation where there's a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Anthony, in a fiery furnace. Very hot. In fact, the people who threw them in were burned up. I want to see some things I've never seen before. When the king said what he said, how should we say what we need to say? Blessed be the God of Shadrach. Wouldn't you love for somebody out here to say, blessed be the God of that man. That man's got God shining all over his face. I can tell there's something different about him. The king knew that something was different about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because normally they would have been burned up. That was the difference. They weren't. God is still able to deliver today. We might think that's just a Bible story that belongs for a day when we want to get excited about a story. And not have anything to do with us. I want it to have something to do with us. And I want us to be a part of this story so that when we go out tomorrow, we could be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have the same Lord. They did. We are in a furnace. And they're trying to turn the heat up on us. And they're doing it. But it's okay. It doesn't matter that this world turns the heat up on Christians and puts us through punishment, or they think they are. God's got control of the thermostat. He can, by the way, they said, listen, if we don't get out of this thing, it's okay. If we die, we die. We're going home. We're going to heaven. We've got a Lord and Savior. And folks, we're the winners. We're not the losers. We're not going to be burned up in the furnace. Don't you like to know you're victorious before you ever get there? That's like taking a ball team in to play ball. And you say, boys, you don't have to go in and play, but you can if you want to. You all have already won. We've already won. We know the end of the story, don't we? Thank God that he's given us the opportunity to be saved and to live a Christian life down here and live through the testing and the trying times and come out victorious on the other side, ready to walk out of the furnace. I don't know what's going to happen in this old world. Doesn't matter to me because it's not part of my life. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Amen. Does that take on new meaning now? That you're in it, but not of it?
I'm not of it because I'm into him. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this scripture tonight. We thank you for a story that has thrilled us for years. But Lord, seemingly the closer we get to you, the more it thrills. And Lord, I do pray that as we're tested and tried in this Christian life that we live, that we'll be where we need to be so that we can walk out of the furnace with our shoulders high, knowing that you're the reason. You're the reason. And we're going to praise you, Lord, tonight for everything that you've done here. I thank you for the songs that have been sung. I thank you for the word that has been preached. And I pray that we all leave here loving each other and going out with the idea that we're going to win the lost at any cost and be what we need to be. And we're going to praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to thank the folks from Grace who came over to be with us. We like the fact that you thought of us. Dave used to think of us a lot more, but he don't love his brother like he used to. I get him and Tom every time I do stuff like that because I don't care. I'm the crazy one like my mama, and they always tell me that, so I just be that, you know. But if you don't know my brothers, get to know them. They're worth knowing. They are. And Linda, we'd like for you to come back and be with us again. And Sandy, did you come, Sandy? Did you come by yourself? Oh, okay. Well, don't go away with her. We're glad you're here, Sandy. Come back and be with us, would you? Okay, stay with him. It's okay. We love him too, by the way. And if y'all would stand to your feet, we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer, and then we're asking you to get right on at that front door and take a left and go over. For you folks who are visiting with us, please go over and have a cup of something to drink and maybe a bite of something. We'd love for you to. Okay, and take care of little Gideon while we pray, okay? Yeah. Love that boy. I've never seen anybody take over a baby like Tom has Gideon. In fact, I've had two or three people say, "Have you seen Tom holding that baby? That's not Tom, the Tom I know." I said, "He's been hiding it all these years. He's really a teddy bear." No. Okay, let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. Lynn, would you do that, please? Amen. God bless.